James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Life! Life, you hear me? Give my creation life!
So this was fun.
You're going to like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Good countdown. Six, five, four, three, two, one.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast area.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you've read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Hey there, and good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Guy James Show, coming to you from the blue waters and sandy beaches and hurricane-free west coast of Florida. Yes, no hurricanes here right now anyway. I'm glad that... Glad that Dean didn't come our way, that's for sure. Looked like a nasty one. Of course, every time anybody mentions hurricane on the weather service, AccuWeather, National Weather Service, everybody's ears perk up around here. But so far, so good. Knock on wood. Nothing this year. And things are calm and beautiful here today. I hope it's nice where you are. I understand up in the Midwest, a lot of people got soaked with rain and have got hit in some pockets with tremendous amounts of rain. Something they're not used to, flooding in places that normally you don't see flooding. But anyway, we are coming to you from the blue, beautiful blue waters and sandy beaches of Southwest Florida, all around the country, and yes, all around the world as well. And we know we've got people from all the states listening and from several countries around the world, and want to welcome everybody. And I see that the official Guy James Show pooches, Kukla and Sophie, are walking into the studio. We give them free rein around here to walk around the studio, and here they are, the two fabulous Guy James Show Yorkies. So they're looking at me right now with their little beady eyes. Cute puppies, absolutely cute. I'm a dog lover, so this Michael Vick thing, has that got a lot of you upset? Do you care? I do. I just hate that story. I think it's one of the most ugly stories to come along in a long, long time. I know I'm tired of hearing about it, and I hope he gets what he deserves. I hope he goes before a judge that is an animal lover, that loves dogs. And that would, that's what he should get. He should get to go before a judge that loves animals, and we'll see how it turns out. God, what an ugly story that is. Anyway, thanks for joining us today. We've got an interesting week coming up for you. After being off a couple of days last week for some medical procedures, for those of you that have asked, and many of you have, let me just say that, yes, everything went well. It wasn't anything big and serious. I can't think of the Lacrovain or something like that, tendonitis deal in the wrist. They went in and cut the wrist open and drilled things out a little bit and made it so the tendons can work better, and my goodness, we're back here. The keyboard isn't all that comfortable yet, but anyway, things went just fine. Got to go into La La Land a little while. Always a pleasurable experience. Count backwards from 100. 199, boom, out. So, interesting experience, and we're glad to be back with you today. Everything went just absolutely peachy keen. It did. And thank you for asking, so many of you that did. If you'd like to call the program today, you may do so toll-free, 866-546-5254. That's 866-546-5254. We didn't plan any guests for today. We've got lots of guests the rest of the week. Some you'll recognize the names and some you won't. And by the way, coming up Thursday, you remember a while back, maybe 3 weeks ago, I'm not sure, I'm so bad on dates anymore, that we had a live interview from David Enders from Baghdad, coming to you live from outside the Green Zone in Baghdad. Well, he's going to be with us on Thursday, and it'll be interesting to hear what he has to say. He's home now from Iraq after spending a good deal of time there. He's gave us the most honest assessment of that situation that I've heard in a long, long time. And we're also going to have Dar Jamil, who has been with us several times on the program. He's an independent journalist that spent over 8 months reporting from Iraq. And he's got a book coming out pretty soon called Beyond the Green Zone. So both of those gentlemen are going to be with us on Thursday. And got a couple of guests coming up to be named later tomorrow. Robert Weiss is going to be with us talking about this latest scandal involving chemicals in baby bottles that's caused a lot of problems around the country. What else we got going here? Taking a look at my notes here today, and I have for some reason extensive notes today. A couple of quick notes. I noticed, as did probably all of you, and those of you old enough to remember, that Michael Deaver passed away on Sunday. And I didn't want to let this day go by without mentioning Michael Deaver. Michael Deaver was an interesting guy during the Reagan administration. He was, he was just a doggone expert at getting Ronald Reagan's face out in front of the public in fine fashion all the time. He was the master of it, the master at propaganda. He was very, very good at what he did. And somebody reminded me the other day, and I've always thought of it as one of the great stories. You know, Ronald Reagan and Tip O'Neill were fast friends. And they were at each other's throats all the time during the day, but after work, you know, they got along just kind of like lawyers that do, going to court against one another and have a drink afterwards in the local watering hole. But Reagan had O'Neill up to his private residence. And after dinner, he popped a bottle of champagne. Now, Reagan wasn't a drinker, so he had to have the staff hunt around for some booze. And he offered the following toast. I think it's one of the great toasts that I've ever heard. Reagan offered the following toast to Tip O'Neill. And it goes like this. If I had a ticket to heaven, and you did not have one too, I'd throw away my ticket and go to hell with you. What a good toast to share amongst political foes, don't you think? But I don't know how I get worked out in there about Michael Deaver. But anyway, his career after he got out of the White House wasn't, let's just say he didn't stay clean. And he got involved in a lobbying situation where he was convicted on 3 to 5 counts of perjury stemming from statements to a congressional subcommittee and a federal grand jury that were investigating his lobbying activities with the administration officials. And, of course, Deaver blamed the whole thing on alcoholism. Said he had lapses of memory due to alcoholism, and that's what caused the perjury and his bad judgment. And he was sentenced, as many of you remember, to 3 to 5 years probation. He was fined $100,000 and had to perform, I don't know, over 1,000 hours of public service, I know it was. But one thing that I'll always remember about Michael Deaver, and I know maybe some of you do as well, when the subject of a pardon, and this is so germane to today's situation that we have, when the subject of a pardon surfaced in Ronald Reagan's final days in office, they actually went to Deaver and asked him and notified him that maybe he was going to get a pardon. Not maybe, he was going to get a pardon. And Deaver indicated that he wouldn't accept one. And that's actually from Ronald Reagan's diary. So you can think of Scooter Libby today. You can think of other folks involved. But Michael Deaver, as it ended up, despite his criminal activity and his perjury and all that, took the right path and refused a pardon from Ronald Reagan at the end of Reagan's term. Summoned up the courage and the fortitude and the ethics to do that. And we don't see that very often anymore. We really don't. 866-546-5254. I had a chance to, over the weekend, had a lot of a time when I couldn't be at my keyboard and all that. Now and then, at least for me, it's probably a good thing to shut up for a while and just think things over. And I had the rare opportunity these past few days to do that during these times where I had to kind of stay quiet and not do a whole lot. And I've not come to any new earth-shattering conclusions about the important issues of the day, but a few things did become a lot clearer to me after having a chance to think them over. And over these past few years, a lot of you have heard me openly wonder just what the hell's going on in America these days. And I've always been a proud American, and frankly, I've never been more worried about, well, about what we, the citizens of this country, are allowing our government to get away with. And I'm very worried about the perception the rest of the world has about our action during these past few years. And I often talk about where I live here. We have many, many guests that come here from all over the world. It is a vacation destination, and we get people here from around the entire world. And I worry that the rest of the citizens of the world think that all Americans agree with the actions of this brazen outlaw administration that we're currently enduring. And having had many, many conversations, and I seek these conversations, a lot of conversations with people from other countries, I've heard them express on numerous occasions that hey, you elected Bush, you elected him twice. You know, it's just like anybody else. They see the headlines. They see that Bush was elected. They don't know the details about the stolen elections and the voting booths and the machines and all that. They don't know that. They think that we wanted Bush as our president, that he actually was a majority in this country, and we elected him twice. Therefore, in the minds of the rest of the world, they believe that we're in agreement with Bush and his insane policies. And that's something that's worried me from the very, very beginning. They believe we made Bush our choice for president twice, not once but twice, because we were living up to our reputation as the ugly Americans, and we were looking out for our own greedy self-interest once again, like we are known for doing. And they believe the American people have designs on the natural resources, namely oil, of the rest of the world, and that we'll do anything necessary, whether it's moral, ethical, or not, to get the oil. And I hear a lot of conservatives exclaim, who cares what foreigners think of us? Well, I think that's a huge mistake, a huge mistake. I do care what the rest of the world thinks about us, and I think the liberal community on the whole cares deeply about what the rest of the world think about us. Sure, there are some rogue regimes around the world that we differ with and so forth, but the people are people. I don't care where you go. And we have to worry about our reputation around this world. And it seems like the Bush administration has been more than willing to just flush that reputation and our good name down the toilet. And it's just a damn shame. And I've also been thinking about our freedoms. And I worry. And so many people come up to you and tell you nowadays, and I know some of you may be worry warts just like I am, but I worry about losing my freedoms. I do. There's something, the freedoms are something that I have never, ever taken for granted. And I know a lot of people think it's over the top for guys like me to be screaming from the mountaintops that we're losing our precious freedoms just because of the Patriot Act and this recent FISA legislation. But I really believe we're seeing our government, which I truly believe is in the hands of hardcore neocon radicals, I think our government's gradually eroding our freedom so that Big Brother can have his way with us. And as you well know, Big Brother is having his way with us right now. And one of the big differences between conservatives and liberals concerns the use of the word freedom. I think we've got a tremendously different perception of what freedom is. We, you know, the two groups use it in completely different ways, the conservatives and the liberals. And freedom for conservatives is based on the idea that they ought to be free to make as much money as they can, and that anything that gets in their way is considered some sort of an infringement on their freedom. And if a coal company, for example, believes that ripping off the mountaintops to get the resources out will create more wealth for them, then they ought to be able to do it, no matter what the consequences. If they want to walk away from the damage they've done to the environment when they're done, then they ought to be able to do it. And let's face the facts here, folks. Let's face the facts, and you know I'm right on this. Left to their own devices, the conservatives would have allowed big business to pollute our country's air, our land, and our water to the point where everybody would be walking around having cancer and wearing gas masks. You know it's true. Look how they fought the environmental controls that we have. And I'm not just talking about those unfortunate to live on the Love Canal or other places. The conservatives would never have put environmental controls on any kind of big business. The smoke stack, black smoke belching, and lead in the air, chemicals in the air, chemicals in the water, the Cuyahoga River on fire. They would never allow controls on that because it took away their freedom to make unlimited money without regard for the rest of the citizens. That's what freedom means to the conservatives. And I don't want to speak for everybody, but freedom to me is different than that. I think that we should be free from harm. That's my freedom. I think liberals believe that people should be assured that there's some sort of a social agreement in which the whole society won't be harmed by the actions of individuals or big business. So when we look at George Bush's words about the war on terror, and Junior Bush tells us that the terrorists hate freedom, what does he mean? Maybe he's right. I hate to give him that much credit, but maybe he's right. Maybe the terrorists really do hate the kind of freedom George Bush is actually talking about. Maybe they really don't want to allow American corporations to have unlimited freedom to rape and pillage the natural resources of all the Middle Eastern countries with oil beneath the ground. Maybe they do hate that kind of freedom. I'm pretty sure that the freedom that those fighting against us in Iraq would like is freedom from American occupation of their sovereign land. I think that's a different kind of freedom than George Bush is talking about. George W. Bush doesn't really want freedom, not the kind of freedom you and I think of. He doesn't believe that people should have freedom to protect themselves from disease or cure diseases that they have. And he doesn't believe that we have the right to privacy, to keep our own government from spying on innocent citizens, and he's proven that over and over and over again lately. Some of those freedoms were denied by Junior Bush when he voted the stem cell research bill. So we should all understand that Junior Bush doesn't really mean what he says when he proclaims that the war on terror is about freedom. It is not. So, that brings us to the point, what is this war about? What is it really about? I don't have to tell you what terrorism is. Terrorism is a technique that's used since time immemorial, used to draw attention to somebody's cause. And there's been a lot of causes involved with terrorism. It's not restricted to a group or an ideology. There have been terrorists throughout the history of the civilization. And they've been successful in the past, and I don't think there's any doubt that they'll have some measure of success in the future. You know, stop and think about it. You could argue And this is taking it to the extreme, but you could argue that the American Revolutionary soldiers broke down the actual rules of warfare, as they were at the time, by sneak attacks on the British. And the British saw this as a type of terrorism. But then again, the British massacre in Boston could have been ruled a terrorist act as well, or they're burning the White House. So, is terrorism a valid technique when the people using it are on our side? If so, then the war on terror is kind of a misnomer. Because we select which terrorist is good and which terrorist is bad. And let's face it, we've been on the sides of terrorists that we said and proclaimed were good, and we've been on the other side as well. And when you stop and think about it, when Americans torture their prisoners, which we have done, and which seems to happen in all wars. But when Americans torture their prisoners, is this not a terrorist act? When soldiers beat civilians with clubs and create fake executions, in my opinion, they're acting in every bit the grievous manner as those kind of terrorists that we're fighting. So what the hell are we doing here? Supposedly, we launched a war in Iraq on terror with the objective to disarm Saddam Hussein. That was one of many reasons. Well, we did that. And the terrorist Saddam has been removed from power, and he's been executed. That was one of the goals we said we had. That's one of the reasons they used for going into Iraq. Okay, done. Finished. So what are we doing in Iraq now after our successful operation of doing that? Are we still fighting this war? Or are we occupying the country? And as you all know, this is an important question that the Bush administration doesn't really want to give us an honest answer for. You know, they said we're going to liberate those people. Well, liberation means that you take away the tyrant and the people are free to rule themselves. And this administration argues that that's what they've done. But the reality of the situation shows me a different picture. To be sure, there are Al-Qaeda terrorists in Iraq. Many, many more than were there when this war started. But there's still a small minority of this so-called insurgency. The Iraqi people, and I'm not talking about Al-Qaeda, they've increasingly risen up to oppose our military occupation, and who could blame them? Tell me that a foreign army occupying this country wouldn't draw people out of their homes to fight any foreign occupiers of this country. Tell me that the American people wouldn't do the same thing. My God, I would hope so. That we wouldn't use any tactics necessary to put an occupation army out of our land. I would hope we would do that. When the people in the country are opposed to the foreign power living in their land, that you know, historically, that's called an occupation. But the Bush administration refuses to admit that we are occupiers of Iraq. Because let's face it, and you know this, I know this, it's always been an American, it has never been an American value to occupy another country. That's not an American value. And there's no one that stakes a bigger claim to so-called American values than the conservatives. They claim to care about American values as long as they don't name the ones that they don't like. And I think that it's high time, and I think it's important to call this action in Iraq what it really is. It is the occupation of Iraq. It is the illegal occupation of Iraq by a foreign army, us being the foreigners. That is what it is. Let's call a spade here. You may not like the sound of that, but that is the truth. It's not the war in Iraq. This is the occupation of a sovereign nation. This is just another way that we've allowed the conservatives to frame the language in their favor, and they've gotten away with it. And it's time that the rest of the people in this country understand what this really is. But what's the reality of this war on terror? Why are we still in Iraq? And what does this conservative agenda hope to accomplish by staying there? I don't know about you, but it's beginning to me at least, to look like Iraq is some sort of a conservative experiment in ideology. The Bush administration has torn down everything in Iraq. And according to conservative ideology, the people will rise up and form a democracy because that is the nature of human beings. And not only will they rise up and build a democracy, but also it's going to be a capitalist democracy where the wealthy will rise up and rule everybody in a free market system. And the wealthy will make money by exploiting the situation. And once they have their wealth, they'll want a government to protect their wealth. And they'll want their wealth to buy influence and create stability. Does this sound familiar? Of course it does. That's the kind of democracy that conservatives are pushing not only here, but in Iraq. That is the present-day American-style democracy. It's a democracy for the privileged and for the rich. And, of course, since the Bush administration already knows what's best for Iraq, they just need to nudge the Iraqis in the right direction. And that's what they're trying to do, and they're getting nowhere with it. They've tried and tried and tried, and they're getting nowhere. How do the Iraqis view the occupation forces in their country? First of all, they view them as being ineffective and uninformed. The Iraqis want stability. Nobody wants stability more than the Iraqi people. They're tired of not having any safe water or sanitary facilities. They're tired of not having any electricity. They're tired of not being able to send their kids to school because of safety issues. They're tired of not being able to go to the grocery store and buy what they need for their family or have a job to make a decent amount of money to support their family. They're tired of that. And who can blame them? The Iraqis want stability. But we have to face the fact that the American government has acted in every way to destroy that stability. You know, the looting that took place in the towns just after the invasion, to our inability to stop the insurgents. The Americans in many ways in Iraq are viewed as weak and ineffective and naive. The Iraqis can only think of survival at any cost, which leads them to support the more powerful and the effective gangs and the religious extremists. That's what happens. You know, this is a battle for the hearts and minds of the Iraqis, and we're losing that battle every single day. So what's the solution? Are we edging in the right direction at all? As the Iraqis become more and more frustrated with our occupation, we're going to continue to lose ground with them as far as their hearts and minds are concerned. Do we just ignore that? Or should the basic question be in this whole thing, how do we win back the hearts and minds of the Iraqi people? And I think everybody knows that what the real answer to that is. We can only win back the hearts and the minds and the trust of the Iraqis by building some sort of lasting relationship with the Iraqi people. But it's never going to happen under this Bush conservative leadership. It's not going to happen at all. And I'm not just talking in Iraq, but throughout the entire Middle East, these people do not understand the problem there. They want to stay the course. And now we're starting to hear some of the Democratic leadership rise up and say, well, you know, we may need to leave some troops over there. We may need to leave a significant number of troops in that place. I don't think so. I do not think so. Hey, we're going to pause for a break. By the way, the phone number, 866-546-5254. We'll be back right after this.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Are you a conservative Republican who believes George W. Bush did the right thing by invading Iraq? Are you in agreement with Mr. Bush when he says, we need to stay the course no matter how long it takes? Do you agree with the president when he says that he will never set any time schedule to pull out our troops? Well, if you agree with all that, then you'll certainly want to help out Mr. Bush by signing up your kids or grandkids for military service today. Yes, just call your local Army, Navy, Air Force, or Marine recruiter and tell them the age and social security number of your little Johnny or Susie and make an appointment for a free visit by your local military recruiter. We know that by supporting the president's war, you are a super patriot, and you'll want to be the first on your block to offer up your kids for Mr. Bush's war. Don't worry if you think they're too young. Even if they're only 10 or 11 years old, this war will certainly last long enough for them to get involved. And for the first 15 callers, we're offering absolutely free a CD of the president uttering those famous fighting words, bring 'em on. Yes, this CD will have special meaning to you, especially if your kid is wounded or killed in Iraq. So call now and get your child or grandchild registered today. Just call 1-800-TAKE-MY-KID. That's 1-800-TAKE-MY-KID.
It's right to feel.
Back with you here in the Guy James Show. 24 minutes before the hour. Glad to have all of you along with us. Always appreciative of our audience. Whether you agree or disagree with our point of view, we're glad you're listening. And we hope you'll give us a call. 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. It's toll free, folks. And if you've got unlimited calling plan and you want to use your nickel, 941-876-6896. Please join us. We'd love to hear from you today. We are getting ready for a trip to our nation's capital in just a couple of weeks. A couple of weeks from yesterday, as a matter of fact. So we'll be going there on some show business and looking forward to that. Always enjoy going to the nation's capital. And who knows, we might run into a few friends there as well. And maybe have a good dinner and enjoy some of the finer sights in town, and a lot of them to see, that's for sure. You know, we saw the huge hullabaloo over the weekend. The talk about the surge by Carl Levin and John Warner, and the media is going nuts over the senator's comments that the surge is working. The surge is working. That's all we heard over that. It's working in some areas. And, of course, it is working in some areas. And whoever said it wouldn't work in some areas, of course we thought it would work in some areas. It's working in some areas and has opened up other areas for the insurgents to attack, and we've seen plenty of evidence of that. And we've also seen plenty of evidence that there's been no political success whatsoever in Iraq, and Maliki is a failure. He's our hand-picked puppet, and he's an abject failure. And their government is going backwards and not forwards, and there's not going to be any peace in Iraq until they have some sort of a stable government. And there's no evidence that there's any progress in that direction. And there's going to be a bloody civil war when we leave. That's a given. There's a civil war going on there now. Of course, there's some progress by the surge. We understand that. But it's like a leaky dike. It's good in some places and not good in others. Let's head on over to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show. Hello?
Oh, hello?
Yes.
Oh, Guy, is this a repeat?
No.
Oh, this is Phil calling. I was hoping to comment on what you're talking about.
Yes.
Okay. Am I on the air?
Yes.
Oh, geez, I'm sorry. Phil in Daytona Beach.
Yes.
And I'm a little bit behind on the internet. But I want to get back to that this whole thing with Iraq was never meant to be what they said it was. And when are people going to wake the heck up? April 21st, less than a month after the invasion, after Baghdad fell, the 1st Cavalry Division was all in place to be the follow-up force to secure the city of Baghdad. Everything was in place, and Rumsfeld intervened with the Army's plans and called them off deliberately. Iraq was meant to be a quagmire to go on for years. Rumsfeld's a co-founder of the Project for a New American Century that had this whole plan to invade Iraq, set up a permanent presence there in the Middle East for further invasions of Iran and Syria. Everything that's been happening has been playing out all according to plan. And when people have got to get off this sideshow here, this red herring, this deception, and geez, turn off the TV, and if you don't if you aren't up to speed on the PNAC plan, you know, damn it, type in Google and type in PNAC and get up to speed on it. The Secretary of the Army at the time, General Thomas White, a career military man, West Point, you know, Vietnam veteran, the whole nine yards, was fired at the same time for going head-to-head with Rumsfeld on this. And Rumsfeld and Cheney and the PNAC guys won. And we have the quagmire by design. The torch will be passed to most likely Hillary, and this thing, and this military policy of imperialism will continue. Hillary is not what people think she is, and if you don't believe me, please turn off your TV sets and start researching it. The Democratic Party has been co-opted by the same people that the Republican Party has been co-opted. And this whole BS back and forth surge, you know, Democrats stand up for the people and the troops, the Republic, it's all BS. And we got to start calling this crap on for what it is.
Phil, do you see any evidence that we're getting anywhere with it, with on our side over this? Do you see any evidence at all?
I start to see people finally, there is slowly, painfully slowly, people are starting to realize that, you know, that the Democratic Party has been hijacked by the same crowd, you know, that the Republican Party has been hijacked by. And you know what? What really disappoints me, Guy, I see a very little progress. What really disappoints me is, and I see this in my hometown with the Democratic clubs, they follow orders from above, you know, through their county and state and National Democratic Party. You know, they march in line with them just the same as the Republicans march in line, you know, to what comes down from Karl Rove and the Bush White House.
Oh, absolutely. I see it in the local clubs. You got your state committeemen that are responsible to the state chair and to the business interests that raise the money, the fat cats that raise the money in the state, and they come down to the local clubs and tell them what's what. Here's what it's going to be. You'll turn over half your money to the state party. I see it over and over again.
Well, you know, Guy, God, well, damn it, people, you know, if you got to cut the cord to this Democratic Party, the party that it is, you know, the folks that have taken it, we have to become Americans first. These two parties have both been hijacked. And, you know, you talked about freedom and loving your country earlier in the program, Guy. You know, it's time to walk the walk, people, you know. You got to break this denial. You know, the Democratic Party, the party, you know, the principles and the party are not the same as the people who have hijacked it. And you got to distinguish between the two. And to sit here and deny that, you're part of it, man. You're part of the problem. Have you noticed something, Guy, that over this past, what, five, 4 years, since this whole build up to the invasion and occupation, and it is an occupation by design, that you don't see your Democratic clubs out on the streets joining us as the protesters. After 4 or 5 years, the local protests are still just a handful of people. And once again, that's evidence. You know, I don't have any documentation on this, but you know, from what I see with my own eyes, I believe these Democratic clubs are getting orders from above to not participate in anti-war demonstrations, to not be calling for impeachment. They were really out there with our anti-war demonstrations when they were trying to get this Pelosi $100 billion continuation of the occupation bill signed. That's when they came out. They were coming out to do damage control to influence us, those of us who saw it for what it was. We knew that you didn't have to offer any funding, you know, Code Pink, Vets for Peace, you know, groups that could need some support from people that are listening but not getting off their asses and showing up in the streets, you know?
Well, the Democrats, to quote an old Texas phrase that's often used and probably a worn-out phrase, but are all hat and no cattle. Just as the British would say, all mouth and trousers. Just don't back up what they say. Content to sit around and bitch and moan and groan about everything, but not back it up with actions and money. And
well,
I'll at least give the Republicans credit. The Republicans will put enough money after whatever they want to do to get it done. The Democrats won't.
But we've got to we the people have got to disengage from this whole sham. The every day that we still are engaged in this Democrats versus Republicans thing, it's no longer what it used to be, Guy. It's been totally corrupted by the same group of people.
Well, you don't think a third party's going to do anything, do you?
No, but what I do think is getting off your GD ass and get out in the streets and voice opposition to this. We showed up recently, you know, Florida for Peace, you know, and some of the groups, you know, Code Pink Orlando's really, in a bunch of the different Code Pink Tallahassee and the folks out in Tampa, St. Pete, and Gainesville have really stepped up. And if you go to afterdowningstreet.org, you'll see some of recent work. But we went to a town hall Friday and confronted Bill Nelson, you know, and the media was there, and we just gave it to him, man. You know, and I am sick and tired of these Democratic clubs. You know, you got Bill Nelson or whoever who walks in and they give him a standing ovation. You can't even, if you asked anyone in there, you know, about his voting record or anything, they couldn't tell you because they're blindly following. I'm a
Absolutely.
Democrat. He's a Democrat. BS, be an American. You know, our country's been taken. Our country's been taken. And you know, every day that you're part of this Democratic BS, you know, the Democratic Party BS, and instead of out there, you know, calling it for what it is and waking your fellows up, is another day that our troops are committing genocide over there in our name, and our troops are being put in a position to do that, and at the same time they're dying and getting maimed for it, you know, and that's on us, damn it. It's a cop out to be here and say, "Well, I'm a Democrat, and the Republicans are still running roughshod." And you know, I'm a Democrat, and I'm not happy with our party, but you know, we've got to stick with them and all that. BS. That's a cop out. At this stage in the game, that's a cop out, and that makes you part of this genocide.
Well, I agree that it is a cop out. I certainly agree with that.
You know,
but the problem I have is, as you well know, I'm prejudiced because I'm biased because of what I do.
Mm.
We can go stand on the corner in Naples, Florida, and have some signs and have 50 or 100 people. We don't have that many there for the protest, but we can have 50 or 100 people standing on the street corner every Friday night, and it will not have 1% of the influence that one radio voice could have.
Right.
And yet, there is no support for liberal radio in this country. And if you don't believe me, ask the folks at Liberal America, at Air America. Ask any of them who have tried it as a commercial venture. There's no backing. We want this. We want this. We want this. They told all the folks at Air America when they started it up that, gee whiz, we'll back you. And look what's happened. They've fallen flat on their face and went belly
because
up.
And people haven't stepped up, Guy.
Nope, they haven't.
Damn it. You know, there's a PayPal account button on your web page, and there's a PayPal button account on the Horn's web page. And damn it, the corporations have taken over our country. They've taken over the Democratic Party just the same as the Republicans. And the people that are Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, all of, you know, you got Ron Paul on the Republican and you got Dennis Kucinich on the Democrats, and both of their respective parties are doing everything they can to keep their voices muzzled, you know, because they're actually truly representatives of the people, you know, and their party's platforms, you know, the way they're supposed to be. that goes to show you the leadership and the front runners of both parties are corporate shills that are there to continue, you know, and F this voting for the lesser of two evils. The lesser of two evils is going to give us continued evil. We've got to break away from this BS, man. And yeah, there's only five people on your corner. Well, damn it, get out there and make it six, you know? And not everyone could be a radio host and do the great work you're doing, Guy. So if you're not a radio host and doing what Guy's doing, then get out and be the media yourself in your own community.
Well, they need to support the media. They need
exactly,
to support, but they
you know,
do,
so
but they do not.
I'm unemployed, Guy. You know that. I got not much of an income, but I give $10 a month to your program through the PayPal. I can give two cups of Starbucks coffee. Damn it, you know, and it goes through the PayPal. And when Billy Shears first put that thing together for your program, he put out an email that if X number of people just put in $10 a month, we could keep Guy James on the air, you know. And you know, if you're giving money to this GD Democratic Party, you're giving money to this war making, you know.
That's where it all goes.
You know, so take the $10 a month or $20 a month, put it into the Horn or the Guy James Show. And then take the other 10 or 20 bucks and buy some ink toner and some flyers and get out on your corner, print some flyers up, you know, about the PNAC or whatever the heck. Print some truth flyers up, print the web address for the Horn, and start passing them out to your fellows and be the media ourselves, because the media has been stolen, our political parties have been stolen, our representative government has been stolen, and they are not going to give it up. We have to fight to take it back.
Hey, thanks yeah. for your call, Phil.
Oh, geez, Guy, you got me charged up, man.
good to hear from you.
Yeah, thank you, Guy.
Yeah, bye now.
Bye-bye.
I understand Phil's frustration. I feel it every single day. And every liberal broadcaster I know, I don't know a lot of broadcasters that are willing to say they're liberal. I know some that are willing to say that they're progressive. But I also know some are willing to say they're liberal. And I am proudly liberal. But it's just a damn shame. I was talking today with one of my broadcasting friends, and we were talking about the lack of support. And it's just terrible. It really is terrible. We had a women's network go belly up this week. It was talk for women. Constant money troubles for anybody on the liberal side, the conservative side. They've got all the money they could ever want in the world, and that's how it goes. Hey, let's head on over to the phones again. Hello, you're on the Guy James Show. Whoop. Guess we got a dial tone on that one. Phones don't seem to be working exactly right today. I'm not exactly sure what we did some changing around, but everything's been tested out and okay, so we shall see. If that was you, why give us a call back. 866-546-5254, or you can reach us at 941-876-6896. And I don't think there was ever a better example of a lack of true liberal media as over this weekend, with how the conservative media, the right-wing media, took that story of Carl Levin and John Warner and just ran with it about how they came home from Iraq and said, oh, man, that surge is really having a big effect, when the real meat of the story was you can have all the military effect that you want in that country, but until such time as we get things political changed there, why it's going to be a rough go. It's going to be a rough go. And you know, the Iraqi parliament's still on vacation for this whole month. It's an ugly situation. It really is. Let's try the phone again. Hello, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, this is Juanita.
Hello, Juanita.
I kept trying to call them, and it was ringing busy every time. Yeah, I heard your dissertation.
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Yes, I'm here.
And Thomas Paine is my hero, and he's my founding father's hero. And that was very Thomas Paine-ian.
Oh, well, thank you.
But the thing is that, see, you said it. It just rings so true that they're the party of get as rich as you can.
Oh, sure.
Freedom.
Grab as much
as rich as you can. And that just makes so much sense. And that's something that should be on an ad or something. And your whole, I call it a speech, because it should be on, if somebody knows how to put it on YouTube, you know, to be where more people can hear it every day, day in and day out. And it's representative of what we are, you know, that people, all over the world, I guess they do wonder why we elected him. Well, folks, we did not elect him. Please believe me, we did not. And so many people, they don't want to know anything different. They don't want their boat to be rocked.
That's right.
You know, and they just think, if I keep my head covered and don't listen, then it's going to turn out all right. And Davis just reaffirms, you know, the thing is that we can listen to these programs, and, you know, and especially you, because then we reaffirm some of our beliefs and we get new perspectives on our beliefs. You know, I believe what you said, but I didn't know how to put it into words, you
well,
know.
We have to stick together on this, and we have to become a, you know, force to be reckoned with, and I just don't think we're putting forth the effort right now. I really don't think we are as a group.
There's like three little things I would like to bring up. You talk about the local Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
We had some amazing leaders. I mean, they just were 100%. A man and his wife. He was a lawyer, and she's a nurse. And in addition to their jobs, they went to everything. They went, they were in Martin Luther King's parade and, you know, everything. And they were personal. They just always had time, you know. It wasn't like they had anything to do. And did you know our local ones, they made it so miserable till they left.
Well, that's...
Then we had somebody who was, I guess you'd call her correspondent, and they made things so miserable for her till she won't even send out any more emails. She won't even respond to emails, and she was amazing. It's like they don't, I guess it's the blue dog thing.
Well, they march to the state's orders, the state party's orders, and it's a shame. We've got a situation, and I'll talk about it after the top of the hour.
Want to say one thing about what Hillary Clinton said at that debate.
Yeah.
That, now, this is the way I look at it. She said that it was going to take a long time to get out of, you know, properly get out of Iraq. And one thing she said that really kind of stuck with me was she said that we had a lot of property that we needed to get out. Well, listen, what's more important, that property or our people?
That's right.
And we're not doing a thing to help those people over there. I don't care what anybody says. They're people who are trying to do. There are troops who are trying to help people out over there.
They're far worse off now than they were before.
Our government definitely is not.
Yeah.
They're building that huge, huge thing. That little girl you had on the other day that was in service, the one from Germany, I'd love to hear from her again.
Hey, we got to pause for news at the top of the hour. Got to run.
Okay.
Thank you for your call. Bye now. We're coming up to the top of the hour and the news. You're listening to the Guy James Show here on the Head On Radio Network. And we'll be back right after the news. Don't go away.
This is the Quality News Network. Hurricane Dean this morning struck the Yucatan Peninsula in a rural area south of Cozumel and Cancun as a powerful Category 5 storm. Dean has been downgraded to a Category 2 hurricane and is expected to move into the Bay of Campeche and make a second landfall on Wednesday along the Mexican coast, 400 miles south of the Texas border. President Bush is in Canada for the Quebec summit to strengthen ties with America's neighbors. During what's being dubbed the Three Amigos Summit, President Bush and the leaders of Canada and Mexico have agreed on a mutual strategy to avoid crippling delays in border crossings during emergency situations such as a terrorist attack or a natural disaster. In Baghdad today, 15 former officials from the Saddam Hussein regime go on trial for crimes against humanity. The men are accused of massacring as many as 100,000 Shiites during a 1991 uprising. Russian military officials want the Czech Republic to postpone a decision to accept a U.S. radar station. Moscow views the proposed missile intercept system as a threat and told Prague it would be making a big mistake if it agreed to the plan and has urged them to wait until another U.S. president is elected to decide. In Tehran, one of three Iranian Americans imprisoned on charges of harming the national security of Iran has been released on bail. Hale Esfandiari was in Iran visiting her elderly mother when she was arrested in what is believed to be politically motivated charges. Students in Bangladesh today rioted for the second day against a military-backed emergency government. The violence has taken place at three universities where demonstrators want democracy restored and the army removed from the university and politics. In Huntington, Utah, federal and mine officials say the six miners trapped in a collapsed mine over 2 weeks ago could remain forever entombed in the rubble. Efforts to reach the miners have resulted in no signs of life, insufficient oxygen supply, and the death of three rescue workers. Last night, a National Guard helicopter crashed in western Utah, killing two. The cause of the crash is unknown and under investigation. The third largest wildfire in California's modern history is racing through the Los Padres National Forest. Almost 215 acres of backcountry have been blackened since a lightning strike ignited the area 6 weeks ago. And Reuters reports the number two man at the Pentagon has produced a memo establishing 25 goals to be accomplished before the end of the Bush administration. The list includes an expansion of elite military forces and a new strategy for detaining terrorism suspects. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Coming up next, science and business.
Looking to find the best in the USA? Come to Boulevards.com. We're the best address in city guides across the U.S. For the best information in travel, Boulevards.com gives you the most up-to-date choices for the best in dining, hotels, entertainment, adventure, and exciting tips to make your holiday the best it can be. Whether you're a local or just looking for great getaway tips, go to Boulevards.com and get the best. Be independent of search engines. Make your choices. We're Boulevards.com. Come visit us at SanFrancisco.com, SanJose.com, Carmel.com, WashingtonDC.com, PaloAlto.com, Seattle.com, Oakland.com, SanAntonio.com, Denver.com, and many more. We are Boulevards.com, the best in your visiting the USA. Come visit us at Boulevards.com.
The Space Shuttle Endeavour landed this afternoon without incident at Cape Canaveral in Florida. Space Shuttle Endeavour came home early because of Hurricane Dean and lasted in space 9 days, delivering components to the space station for lab modules. Student archaeologists have discovered an ancient wad of gum in western Finland. Scientists say the Stone Age piece of birch bark tar was likely used to fix things such as broken dishes and arrowheads. Walmart has halted sales of two Chinese-produced dog treats, even though an official recall has not been announced yet. Customers have complained that two brands of chicken jerky have made their pets ill. A U.S. attorney has filed a class action suit against Mattel as a result of the company's massive recall of Chinese-made toys containing lead. The lawyer wants Mattel to pay for the testing of children exposed to the possible lead poisoning from their toys. Washington Mutual, the nation's third largest mortgage lender, announced it will write more, not less, mortgages. The company says it has enough of its own money to fund the mortgages when issuing the highly profitable subprime loans. Light sweet crude is trading at $69.27 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. And on Wall Street at this hour, the Dow Jones is up 5 points, the NASDAQ is up 14 points, and the S&P 500 is up 5 points. You can always log on and find more at our website at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Jay Gallet.
Throw the second switch! Throw the third switch!
Not the third switch!
James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Life! Life, you hear me? Give my creation life!
So this was fun.
You're gonna like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Get countdown. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast area.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you've read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Welcome back to the Guy James Show. I'm extremely grateful that all of you are with us this afternoon. We've got another 53 minutes of great programming here for you, and you're welcome to call us at 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. I'm told that we're having a little problem with the phones today, but if you've tried, try again. We'll see. We may have to pick up while it's ringing instead of have it go strictly onto automatic. So keep that in mind if you call today. Just keep calling until you get through. We'll have that checked out. Before we went to the break, I was talking about the influence of the national and state party. And don't get me wrong here. I'm a Democrat. I've always been a Democrat. I will always be a Democrat because I adhere to the foundational principles of the Democratic Party. And I stay with them. I have always stayed with them. I have not deviated from them. And I am a Democrat in a way that what a Democrat's supposed to be and what the party has always stood for the working man, for the average man, for the union man, for my freedoms. Because I believe that we're all in this together, because we owe each other health care, civility, and this anti-imperialistic nature. I'm anti-imperialistic. I'm a Democrat because those are the tenets that I believe in and have believed in all my life, and I will remain a Democrat. And it's a shame to me that the party has taken a turn, and I don't like this turn that they've taken, and so I'm in this thing to try and get the party back on track. And one of the examples I wanted to give, and I won't mention any names, although a lot of people locally here will know damn well what I'm talking about. And we have within the local area here a very large Democratic club, very large, a club that came from nowhere just 5 years ago or so into a club that had 400 or 500 members. And when you live where I live and you're talking about a Democratic club with 400 or 500 members, you're talking about a significant achievement by the people that built this. And this club was built by people who believed in the individual efforts of Democrats, who believed that politics are local, who believed in the basic tenets and foundational principles of the Democratic Party, and went about the club business in that way. Well, leadership changed, and people take over the club. that now believe that it's the fat cats that ought to run the party, that we ought to rub elbows with the state chairperson, and it's more important to be at the same table with the state chairperson at the big soirees that they have around the state, and bring in the fat cats that contribute the big amounts of money each, instead of having all the foot soldiers go to work. I am unalterably opposed to taking a club in that direction. The local club people should have control of their local club. They should keep control of it, and they should not turn it over to the state party. Because the local foot soldiers in the clubs, the precinct people, those are the people that are the real Democrats. Not the fat cats that when one of the presidential candidates comes to town, they go into a gated community at somebody's house and throw in $5,000 apiece or whatever it is. Those aren't the Democrats I'm talking about. Those aren't the people that built this party. Those aren't the people that elect people. It's the foot soldiers. They get out and walk the precincts. It's the people that talk to their neighbors. It's those people. Yes, we need money. Of course we need money. But I think there are two separate issues at hand here for the Democrats in the Democratic clubs all over Florida, all over the country. Of course we need the money people. There's no question of that. But we don't need the money people telling the foot soldiers how to run the party. That's not how it goes. You do your part, you contribute money, and the foot soldiers will get out and get the job done. That's what I'm talking about. The day you decide to relinquish the control of a local Democratic club to the fat cats, to the people that only care what the hierarchy of the party, the orders coming down from on high are, that's the day you lose your club. That's the day you lose the zeal and the enthusiasm that you need to run a successful Democratic club. It's happened here where I live. It happens at other places in the country. I hear from club members all over this country that that's what happened. And the foot soldiers resent it. And rightly so. Do your part. If you've got deep pockets, then you contribute. You go to your local Democratic club and you contribute. You put that money where it'll do some real good. I'll tell you, that really makes me angry. It does. And if you'd had the experience I've had recently over that, and many others here where I live, you'd understand what I'm talking about. And I don't want to mention any names, so I won't go very much farther with it, but it just irks me that people can come in and take control of a club because they've got money. You need the people that go out and walk the precincts and do that job. You need those people. How many of you saw Patrick Leahy yesterday? I've met Patrick Leahy several times. He is a delightful man. Very personable. Very personable guy. Warm, wonderful personality. Love him. Just love him. He's a delight to be around. He really is. Whether you want to sit and talk politics, or you want to sit and talk about family issues or whatever, Senator Patrick Leahy can do that. And he does that completely and willingly when you sit down and talk with him. But I read a blog last night that was talking about how much courage Senator Leahy has. And courage? One of my listeners reminded me recently, and I was remiss in forgetting about this, but one of my listeners reminded me, and thank you, John, for sending this to me, and I haven't had a chance to comment on it until now, but reminded me about something I've neglected to mention for a long time that just might explain Leahy's lack of action. His what I can only call blustering lately, his constant extensions of deadlines to the White House. Don't forget that Leahy and Tom Daschle's offices were targets of anthrax attacks that remain unsolved to this day. And don't forget and many people do. Those attacks came at a time when the Democrats had temporary control of the Senate, and the Patriot Act was being considered. Coincidence? I don't think so. This was highly sophisticated weapons-grade anthrax that was used in those threats, which, by the way, killed a couple of postal workers, so this was no joke. And it was proven to have come from a bioweapons research lab right here in this country. They know where it came from, a weapons lab which was under military supervision. And don't overlook the fact that not a single person has ever been charged or prosecuted for those terrorist attacks, and that's exactly what they were. You talk about terrorist attacks, what else can you call those attacks, sending anthrax to two United States senators? It's almost a certainty that whomever did this was associated with the United States government. And don't forget, although he has, Junior Bush promised to find out who did that, who the perpetrator of that awful, heinous crime was. They never found out. Are you telling me with all the might and muscle and money and influence of the United States government, they couldn't find out who did that? Of course, they can't find out where Osama bin Laden is either. Just another empty promise by Junior Bush to find out, to get to the bottom of something, one of many that he has made. I guess my whole point here is that Patrick Leahy needs to learn that you will not get cooperation from these people. He needs to show them that he will not be intimidated by them. He needs to finally put up or shut up and quit extending the time for the subpoenas. Over and over again. Well, we'll give a few more days. Well, they didn't make it this time. We'll give you a few more days. No, they didn't have enough. Oh, well, we'll give them a few more days. And a few more, and a few more, and a few more. Until the point, Senator Leahy, that they are laughing at you. They are laughing at you. Don't think that they are not. One thing I haven't touched about today, and I don't know whether I should start on it or not, but I will. I had a note around here made somewhere. How do you feel about this mine disaster in Utah? We find now that it is no longer going to be a rescue effort. We also find that the governmental official in charge of it was close ties to the mining industry, had a terrible record when he was in the mining industry, an industry, by the way, that is fraught with danger and not nearly enough controls. An organization, an industry all too willing to put the lives of their workers at risk. We knew, and the mining officials knew, and the governmental officials knew, that this company was involved in unsafe mining. And yet, what was done? Have six miners dead, three more trying to save them, and a community in mourning in Utah now. But it's just one more example of these people with enough money, organizations with enough money, able to buy influence to keep government regulators off their backs so that they can violate environmental rules, worker safety rules, willy-nilly, in order to make a buck. And that's the difference I was talking about a little earlier, the difference between conservatives and liberals. By God, I believe that every worker in this country has the right to as much safety as he can get from the United States government. enough job protection, enough protection of his life as he can possibly extract from the United States government, and the conservatives believe in none. Don't you think for a moment that we would go back to the days of children working in the mines if the conservatives had their way? We would go back to the days when we lost hundreds of miners every year, that we would relax all the mining standards that have been gained over the years. We would give them all back if the conservatives had their way. Why? Because it cost the coal companies some money. And we'd give back all the environmental controls that have been put on big business over the years. All the smokestacks in Gary, Indiana, belching out the smoke, in Detroit and Flint, Michigan, belching out the smoke, the lead, the chemicals. They would give it all back. They would give it all back tomorrow in order to make a buck. That's the difference. That's the difference I'm talking about. It's disturbing, to say the least. We're going to pause for a break. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
I wanna cave man, Johnny, show me that you care, really care. never speak. Must you always be so meek? Oh, Johnny, get angry. Johnny, get mad. Give me the biggest lecture I ever had. I want a brave man. I want a caveman. Johnny, show me that you care, really care for me. Someone who she can always look up to. You know I love you, of course. Let me know that you're the boss. So Johnny, get angry. Johnny, get mad. Give me the biggest lecture I ever had. I want a brave man. I want a caveman. Johnny, show me that you care, really care for me.
Guy James here with you on the Guy James Show, currently 27 minutes after the hour. Thank you for joining us today. We encourage you to call the program, 866-546-5254. We love to hear what all of you have to say, whether you agree or disagree. That's part of the value of a program like this, an exchange of ideas between you and me and all of us. It's a great medium. It really is. 866-546-5254. I'll get to this in a moment, but there's an ugly, ugly story, you know, that... I'll talk about it now. I saw Tom Tancredo, a man that I have total disregard and disdain for. He's a right-wing extremist, in my humble opinion, an extremist of the worst kind. But did you notice how all the Republicans cheered him every time at any of these debates when he gets up and gives one of his hate speeches against Hispanics and any minorities? Have you noticed how they lap it up at those debates? How the real base of the Republican Party just loves what Tom Tancredo has to say. Oddly enough, he hasn't gained much favor in the polls with them at all, but when he gets up and gives his hate speech, they love it. And here he is on the streets of Philadelphia. The guy flies or drives or however the hell he got there, goes to Philadelphia, and pulls off one of the most cheap, tawdry, despicable things I have seen in political life for a long, long time. Stands and gives a news conference on the streets of Philadelphia, trying to make political hay at the expense of the three dead, murdered college students. Because at least one of them that I know of is found to be an illegal alien, one of the murderers. Well, I got news for you, Mr. Tancredo. In fact, if that man is tried and convicted and is an illegal alien, fine. There's plenty of murders committed in this country by people who are not illegal aliens. And so you go single out one that you find, and you go to Philadelphia, and you get up and you give this impassioned speech against immigration to try and get yourself some votes for the presidency of the United States, when you got families grieving there over the murders of their kids? What a cheap, filthy trick by a guy that, well, the people of Colorado that elected this guy to Congress should be ashamed should be very, very ashamed. He's a political opportunist of the worst kind, and believe me, I know all politicians are opportunists of one kind or another. But I found that extremely disturbing, Tom Tancredo. And I'll tell you what else I found very disturbing. We have this lady by the name of Elvira Arellano. I know you all saw the story. She has been living in a sanctuary in a United Methodist Church, a storefront congregation on Chicago's west side, where she took sanctuary from the immigration officials from the United States government. And they've been after her for several years. And she left the church the other day and got caught by the immigration officials, who have been stalking her for some time now, and deported her in no time at all back to Mexico. She has an 8-year-old son who is a United States citizen. Now, don't get me wrong. I believe this problem about illegal immigration has to be worked out. But I also believe you need to show some compassion and some human understanding in this whole mess. And I wonder about the money and the resources it took to wait outside that church and pounce on this woman when they finally got a chance to get a hold of her. Money and resources, government employees after this poor woman. When we have this mine disaster taking place, and nobody watching it seemingly, in Utah, not just in Utah, but Kentucky, West Virginia, all the places that we have mines. You know, we had that West Virginia coal mine disaster a while back. And we find out that the company had been cited 205 violations in 1 year. And you have to ask the question, where are the people that are in charge of the mine safety and the health administration? Who runs that organization? Whole lot of jobs in that whole organization not even filled. You know why? Because they don't want to spend the money on it because it's not important. The lives of the miners aren't important, but it is important to commit government money and resources to hunt down this poor woman and wait outside this church to grab her the moment she sets a foot outside and deport her back to Mexico, thus separating her from her 8-year-old son, who is a citizen of the United States. Oh, how efficient the United States government can be when they put their minds to it. And oh, how proud they should be that they caught this woman. They talk about how they don't have enough people on the borders to stop the illegal immigration. Well, I got a suggestion. Why didn't they take the whole damn crew that was stalking this woman and put them down on the border as well, if that's what their grave concern is? Just an ugly story. We have incompetence on the one side and zealots on the other. And I made me sick when I read that story today. And please, 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 please do not send me any my right-wing friends who try to be the voice of reason for the right wing. And even a few of my liberal friends that have spoken up in this man's behalf, please do not send me any more glowing remarks about Mr. Ron Paul. You will not convince me You would never convince me that Ron Paul is presidential material. Ever. You remember Ron Paul? Maybe some of you don't even know who I'm talking about. Most of you do. Most of my listeners are very astute. Most of the listeners on the Head on Radio Network, John's program and Dr. Bill's program and Mark's program and Bob's program, most of our listeners are very astute. And you know who Ron Paul is. But a lot of people think he's just a good old libertarian guy. A pro-life libertarian. Well, let me tell you a little more about Ron Paul, for those of you who don't know the whole truth about him. First of all, back when Clinton was president, Ron Paul made the accusation that while he was president, that Bill Clinton was a cocaine addict, which he said explained a lot about Bill Clinton. But here are some quotes from Ron Paul that everybody who thinks he's such a straight-up guy ought to hear. You ought to dig and find out the truth about Ron Paul. And here's a few quotes, and I do quote Ron Paul here. If you've ever been robbed by a black teenage male, you know how unbelievably fleet-footed they can be, end quote. Opinion polls consistently show that only about 5% of blacks have sensible political opinions, that is, support the free market, individual liberty, and the end of welfare and affirmative action. Again, Ron Paul says, politically sensible blacks are outnumbered as decent people. I think we can safely assume that 95% of the black males in that city, Washington, are semi-criminal or entirely criminal. He goes on to say, we don't think a child of 13 should be held responsible as a man of 23. That's true for most people, but black males, age 13, who have been raised on the streets and who have joined criminal gangs are as big, strong, tough, scary, and culpable as any adult and should be treated as such. And one last quote by Ron Paul. By far the most powerful lobby in Washington of the bad sort is the Israeli government, and that the goal of Zionist movement is to stifle criticism, end quote. And so when Ron Paul didn't get 1% of the vote for the president, he weaseled his way back into the good graces of the GOP and the people of his district in Texas. Why is it they all come from Texas? Not all of them, but... And here he is, showing up on the stage, wanting to be president of the United States again. And we even have people on the Democratic side looking at Ron Paul as if he's some sort of a liberal Republican. He is not. He is a racist of the highest order and just plain whacked out. That's Ron Paul. We talked earlier, and caller Juanita talked about, I think it was Juanita, talking about some of the views that some of our Democratic candidates for president have. And I think I need to explain something to all of you, and I get this in my email all the time. I've been asked to explain why I have said that we have, as Democrats, as liberals, have the moral responsibility and the patriotic duty to defeat every single Republican running for office who has sworn allegiance to this simple-minded idiot that occupies the White House. I get mail every single day from listeners calling themselves conservatives. They claim that they're conservative and they love George W. Bush. And first of all, that's just plain stupid talk. No true conservative could possibly, and I'm talking about true conservative, no true conservative could possibly love Junior Bush for what he's done as president of the United States. He's expanded the government to levels that most conservatives never dreamed of. he's allowed the government to be far more intrusive into American lives than ever before. He's presided over an administration which has sent the budget deficit to unthinkable numbers. His administration has spent money and increased the national debt like there's going to be no tomorrow. And I don't have to explain to any of you that in no way whatsoever are any of those things that I just mentioned traits of a true conservative. True conservatives have, for the most part, kept their mouth shut and haven't said much about Bush's damaging fiscal policies. And they've done so to keep unity within the Republican Party. But that group has started to crack. And now you see real conservatives, take Pat Buchanan, for example, Newt Gingrich, for example, you're starting to see real conservatives speaking out against Bush's mismanagement of Americans' economic policies. So we know that if you are a real Bush lover, you are no conservative. So don't even go there. You sound silly when you say that. You really do. But whether or not a Republican is really a conservative or not is not the point I'm after here. I'm saying that anybody who has sat quietly by and said nothing about Bush's incompetence and his mismanagement is not fit to hold elected office. Anyone, meaning all Republicans who have defended his policies, are not fit to hold elected office. And anyone who has watched this man betray his nation over and over and either kept quiet about it or defended his actions is of such low moral character as to automatically disqualify him or her from holding office. And that goes for Democrats too. Time and again, we've seen elected Republicans interviewed about the latest, most egregious obscenity yet put on American people, and they have danced, they've evaded, they've bobbed and weaved, and you know damn well in their heart of hearts, they don't necessarily go along with what some of the things George Bush has done, this latest FISA thing. But they backed him. Even though some of them absolutely must know, and they do know, that Bush and his people have told one lie after another to the American people in order to go to war, to continue this war, to cover up the mistakes or lies about the war. And I mean this, only a true ignoramus or a person who didn't give a tinker's damn about the welfare of this nation could possibly still back this man. There is no longer any excuse, any reason whatsoever, that someone who loves this country would stand behind the actions of Junior Bush. This man is now, and always has been, an utter failure. And it just amazes me that anyone, knowing his background of failure and incompetence, could ever have thought him worthy or capable of being president of these United States, period. We have this Alberto Gonzalez mess. Where did Alberto Gonzalez come from? Why, he's been a right-hand man of Junior Bush. He goes in front of Congress. His arrogance and his defiance of Congress is literally stunning to me every time I see him there. And he's the right-hand man of Junior Bush. But this isn't about just Republicans. It is about those who call themselves Republican and are working against the general welfare of the people of the United States. In short, they're putting their offices and their re-elections above the safety and the well-being of the people that they're sworn to serve. And you've heard me say it many times before, they are political whores of the highest order, and they do not deserve the trust or the respect of a single American. They disgust me when they act this way. We did not elect a king. And this guy sees himself as royalty. And he sees himself very obviously now. He sees himself as above the law, him and Dick Cheney. And if you'll remember, in the in his testimony before the Senate Judiciary Committee, even Gonzalez refused to say that Bush isn't above the law. He refused to say that George Bush is not above the law. The Attorney General of the United States giving what I consider to be tacit approval to any goddamn thing that Bush wants to do. In other words, Bush can do anything he wants because he and he alone is above the law. That's the most offensively arrogant, pontifical, pretentious idea I think I've ever heard. Bush is above the law. Did you ever think you would hear anybody in this nation saying anyone is above the law? I sure as hell didn't ever think I would. I wouldn't have dreamed of this, even from George W. Jr. Bush, but it has happened. And we've seen it time and time again. Junior Bush declares an all-out assault on the Constitution of the United States. He deceives the American people concerning matters of national security. He pretends he knows nothing about these leaks. He feigns being a tough guy by saying he's going to get the bottom of the matter about Valerie Plame, for example. And we find out that most likely it's he who's at the bottom of the matter. And instead of being contrite, instead of coming back to the American people and being apologetic, instead of explaining himself and asking the American people to forgive him of such terrible, grievous transgressions, he makes things worse by saying, up yours, to anybody that questions his immoral actions. And what's worse is the talking heads give him a pass and get behind the ridiculous contention that this is all just fine and dandy. So, to get to the point I was trying to make in the first place where I got off on a tangent here so that none of you misunderstand me, let me state categorically and completely unambiguously that I believe that there is no doubt whatsoever that anyone who backs the actions of Bush in this matter, this FISA, and is spying on people, is not only undeserving of holding elected office, but is someone whom I look upon as a traitor to the good people of the United States of America, period. By supporting this man and these actions, you're leading to the destruction of the Constitution. You're supporting the actions of a man who very obviously is hell-bent upon having his way, right or wrong, come hell or high water, he's going to have his way, and he doesn't give a good goddamn if any of us likes it or not. And I know you all watched it if you had the stomach for it. He raised his hand, he put the other on the Bible, and he swore to preserve, to protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States, so help him God. And he has violated every single word of that oath. He has done his best to reinterpret the Constitution so it will benefit him and his people. And he has not protected the Constitution. But in my opinion, he's led an all-out assault on it. And he sure as hell has not defended it in any way whatsoever that I can see. And by this latest FISA action, he's shown utter contempt for the Constitution. He's mocked it. And I don't give a damn about political parties involved in this matter. If any Democrat running for office is willing to concede to him that his lawless, utterly contemptible actions are okay, then that Democrat doesn't deserve to hold office either. If any Democrat running for office does not now categorically reject the basis for this illegal and immoral war and this latest FISA action, then we should shun them. And we should withhold our support from their campaigns. I believe strongly in that. I have not changed my opinion on that whatsoever. I don't care who the candidate is. Politics has to end somewhere, and morality has to start guiding these people instead of their self-serving, greedy lust for power. And just for the record, let me clearly state again, and I have stated it many times, that I will not support any Democrat running for the office of president or any office that from this moment on does not withhold his or her support for Bush's war. Not drag it out for another decade. Not leave half the troops there. No. Withdraw support for it. I've had it. I'm not going to be silent on this issue. You should not be silent on this issue. It's the only way we're going to get it done. I ask this of you to do everything you possibly can to convince our elected Democrats, especially the ones who are running for office now, to take off the gloves and fight bare knuckles against the action of this would-be dictator. It's the right thing to do. It's what must be done. I get so tired of it day after day, and I know you do as well, and I probably sound a little preachy today, but I guess that's the mood I'm in. Had too much time to think about it over the weekend. We'll pause for a break and be back in just a moment.
And talk of all the things we did today. Here and laugh about our funny little ways while we have a few minutes to breathe. And I know that it's time you must leave. But darling, be home soon. I couldn't bear to wait an extra minute if you double. My darling, be home soon. It's not just these few hours, but I've been waiting since I doubled for the great relief of having you to talk to. And now, a quarter of my life is almost past. I think I've come to see myself at last. And I see that the time spent confused was the time that I spent without you. And I feel myself in blue. So darling, be home soon. I couldn't bear to wait an extra minute if you got me. My darling, be home soon. Not just these few hours, but I've been waiting since I toddled for the great relief of having you to talk to.
From the Night Sound Studios, here's Charm City's very own, sassy and classy, Erica Richards.
Join us at Night Sounds every Saturday night at 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern for a unique musical experience. You'll hear featured segments like One Hit Wonders, Under the Covers, and Night Sounds dedications hosted by yours truly, Erica Richards. To request a dedication, please contact Erica Richards at billyshearsmusic.com. That's Erica with a K and Shears, Shears. To reach Billy Shears, direct your email to nightsounds@billyshearsmusic.com. We'll be waiting for you this Saturday evening. It's time
for us to start again. This is Billy Shears, and hey, thanks for lending an ear.
Hey, that Billy's smooth, isn't he? Yes, do tune in to Billy's new show. It's great, and we want to thank Billy, and he's kind of on the mend right now, getting over a little bit of an ailment there that I sympathize with. And Billy, we hope you're doing well, and we want to thank Billy for his great contribution to our program and to the Head On Radio Network. Music director here for the Guy James Show for some time now. Had the occasion to have dinner with Billy and his wife in Washington here a while back. Wonderful couple. Wonderful couple. Just most delightful people. I think we had dinner in the Mayflower Hotel. Hey, how can you do any better than that? And what a lovely, gracious couple they are, indeed. Coming into program up today with a little bit of a funny story. I don't know whether it's funny or not. I ran across this and just thought it was interesting. We don't have a whole lot of time in the program yet, but this came from Tacoma, Washington. No, actually, the whole thing happened in Orlando, Florida. Oh, where else? Police were hoping for a good turnout at their Kicks for Guns sneaker exchange, but they weren't expecting a surface-to-air missile launcher. At Ocoee, Florida, a man showed up and exchanged the 4-foot-long launcher for size 3 Reebok sneakers for his daughter, the Orlando Sentinel reported on Friday. Taking advantage of the exchange's no-questions-asked policy, the man was not identified. He told the Orlando Sentinel that he found the weapon in a shed he tore down recently. This is a surface-to-air missile, folks. He said, "I didn't know what to do with it, so I brought it here," he told the newspaper. "I took it to 3 dumps to try and get rid of it, and they told me to get lost." Besides the missile launcher, police collected more than 250 guns. They were all exchanged for sneakers or $50 gift certificates. So, no questions asked. You pull up with your pick-em-up truck, and you got yourself a 4-foot-long surface-to-air missile launcher in your truck, and you walk away with a pair of size 3 Reebok sneakers for your daughter. Hell of a trade. Hell of a trade. I guess there's some people in over to Afghanistan and Iraq that would make that exchange all day long. 250 guns. All exchanged for sneakers or $50 gift certificates. Wow. Hey, where else do you expect anything like that to happen nowadays? It seems like it all happens in Florida. No matter what it is, it seems to happen here in Florida. Man, oh man, oh man. We just don't ever get over being the source of news around the country, the source of humiliating news. That's the way it seems anyway. Hey, I want to thank you so much for being with us today on here in the Guy James Show. I appreciate your listenership very much. I do want to remind you that we are a listener-supported program. A point we've been trying to get across lately, and thanks to all of you who have contributed, and to those of you who haven't, please think about it. Thanks to Billy Shears, music director. Stay tuned for Mark, Bob a little later, John in the morning, Dr. Bill, the whole Head On Radio lineup. Stay with it. You'll love it. This is the Guy James Show. Don't forget, you heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. See you tomorrow, gang.